Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message. You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Lynette Lewis. It's my joy to be coming to you today right here in my own living room in New York City, to wherever you're sitting, your living room. Maybe you're on the road. Maybe you're listening to this on the subway or driving. We are so glad you're with us. I'm especially excited to be here during what we're calling our Founders Month, where you're getting a chance to hear from all of us who were really a part of this church from the very beginning, and what an honor that's been for me. I love anniversaries. I don't know about you, but on our anniversary, our wedding anniversary, we love to look back. We watch our wedding video, look at our wedding pictures, remember how far we've come. We're coming up on 16 years this year. It goes fast, and our church is actually in our 19th year. That is amazing. I've been here from the very beginning, and it's just an honor to be bringing you this word today. I'm going to reflect a little bit on some various aspects of where we've come from, but more importantly, I think that history sets us up for visioning the future. And so I want to share a little bit about where we really believe that we're going to go next. And it's exciting, especially in the context of what so many of us have been living through these last 6 to 8 months. So I want to talk a little bit, first of all, a story you may have heard, but in the wake of 9/11, September 11th is when our beloved Every Nation New York City began. And I had the honor of finding this church about 3 or 4 months later. The church started in October, right after 9/11. And about January, I think it was January 4th, I walked into a service having heard about the church through an ad in a magazine. Of all things, I was home at Christmas reading a magazine with my mom in the living room over Christmas holiday. She was reading a magazine and she comes upon this ad and she says, "Have you heard about this church?" As you can see here, the ad said Miracle on 44th Street. So I said, no, I hadn't heard about it. So I decided first thing in January, I was going to check it out. Well, as they say, the rest is history. I knew from the first Sunday when I walked in, this was the people for me, the community for me. I was so impressed with how many diverse voices were in the crowd, diversity in race, ethnicity, age, socioeconomic status. And even up to this very day, we've always been a church of diverse voices doing life together, because that's what we believe the kingdom of God is all about. So we, as the founders, the mothers and fathers of this house, are this month bringing to you what we believe is God's vision, not only for the past and what's happened, but really for the future. I can tell you that in spite of everything we've been through, the best is yet to come. In my spirit, as I pray for our community, I know for you personally and for us as a church family, the best is yet to come. In my 58 years of life, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread, as King David said, as the shepherd boy David said. There has never been a time where I've personally been left wanting, or where we as a community, even though we've been through the wilderness seasons as a church family, maybe you're in a wilderness right now, I know a lot of people are, you be of good cheer, because as David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. So I want to talk a little bit. My verse that's really going to frame the message today is out of Matthew 5, and that is verses 14 to 16. It simply says this: "You are the light of the world. A town," or some versions say city, "set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That applies to us personally, as individuals, letting our light shine even in the dark places, but it also applies to us as a church family and a community. And it gets me so excited to think that we're not going to be diminished individually or corporately in this season, but we're going to advance. We're really, truly, as God calls us, the salt of the earth, a light to the nations, a light in the darkness, and a city on a hill. So we're individually lights, but we're corporately a city. And that gets me so excited. Since the founding of this church, Pastor Ron Lewis, my beloved husband, had really had several priorities that God put on his heart as the church was beginning shortly after 9/11. One of those priorities that it's been my honor to be a special part of is his passion and commitment for bringing out and relying on the voices of women in our midst. Now, my husband has worked for years in China, in a place where the greatest revival known since the time of Jesus has been occurring over the last years and years and years. And so much of the work of the gospel in China has rested on the voices and the influence of women. So Ron knew personally how powerful having women in the mix and vocal and equipped and empowered was to the building of our church family. So about a year after I had been attending the church, Ron approached me, a marketplace woman in the community of faith, and asked me if I would be willing to lead our women's ministry. Well, I was deeply honored. I had never done anything like that officially before, even though I've been in the church my whole life as a corporate woman, led for years, been doing Bible studies, speaking all over at various churches on evenings and weekends and in my free time, doing women's conferences, but having no idea that I would now get more of an official role, even as a marketplace person. I love that about doing life in New York. So many of us have our busy jobs and careers, but yet we're committed to advancing the gospel through the local church. And so I said, sure, I would love to. Well, little did we know how God was going to mobilize us as a company of women over the next many, many years, and really over the last 19 years. For 7 years, we started and then offered to the world, really, our Pure Life Women's Conferences. They were dynamic. They brought together amazing speakers. We had every one of us in the church, the men, the women, all of us, serving this women's conference. It was usually right about this time of the year in the fall, and it was all about just equipping women with a sense of purpose, helping us find our voice, helping us be encouraged as we're working as wives and moms and corporate place women. Those were amazing years. I still hear from so many of you that are probably watching us today. You may not be here in New York anymore, but boy, do we have fond memories of those days. Well, those 7 years of doing those women's conferences, we didn't realize would also become a platform for a movement we called Stop Child Trafficking Now. We started a nonprofit organization focused on really equipping in a lot of different facets of this whole horrific pandemic, really, of child sexual slavery. And God allowed us to rally the nation in amazing ways. We ended up doing a stilettos run right in Lincoln Center, where our beloved Ethel Koo, who you can see in this video, she won that stilettos run. We were right out by Lincoln Center. I remember it well. It was a rainy morning. My dear friend Lisa Bevere was here speaking with us at that conference weekend. Our Pure Life weekend was going on, and we had our stilettos run, and I'll never forget, she got up and she said, "The raindrops this morning remind me of the tears of God crying out for the children." And so we did our part. We were able to rally over 300,000 people all over the country. We had then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sent us a letter honoring the work that we were doing to fight this horrific thing. We had Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney right here in New York. We had the actor Stephen Baldwin, who's our friend. We brought out anyone and everyone we could to fight for this thing. It was all part of us believing that the gospel does not remain in the four walls of the church, but through the powerful voices and activism of women and men together, we can change the world. And it was an honor and privilege to do that over those years. Well, since then, we've come a long way as a church family, and it's been a joy to see us focus and even go through a time where we changed our name from Morningstar New York to Every Nation New York City, because that is truly who we are. We've continued to have so many women on our leadership team. I've got about 16 women who all represent each a different area of church, and they're leading actively. Most of them have full-time jobs, but they're committed and devoted to building up our church family. Being a woman at this time in the world and certainly in our church is a joy and a privilege. But I believe that our calling supersedes just our identity as a woman. In fact, Jesus so powerfully, in a time when women were really not given place or voice in this society, Jesus himself was the original liberator of women. And when we as men and women find our identity in Jesus himself, we enter into true liberation. Then no longer are we just looking at the government or systems to help us feel empowered and equipped, but we're actually looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to give us that identity we're looking for. So I want to cover just in the context of four of what we call our values here at the church to understand more about how God gives us that voice, gives us that liberation and that purpose in our lives. It's certainly been part of our story, but I believe it's also part of our future. The first one that we talk about is knowing God. True identity, as I said, as a woman for me, comes from knowing God. I wanted to be married for many years. A lot of you know my story, but it was amazing to me when shortly after I was married, how much it all still felt the same. Why? Because really my purpose, my sense of who I am, doesn't come from my husband, though. He's wonderful and he's a partner in life and we do the kingdom together. It comes from God himself, that intimacy, that personal knowing of God, of how who we are and what we're called to be. And that has made all the difference. You know, I've been working in this season of my life to really discipline my time with the Lord. It seems there's so many voices coming out against us, and certainly bringing kids back into the household where we're doing e-learning in long seasons where so much has changed, so much has felt chaotic. More than ever, I'm committed to listening to God. I love running. So many of you know how much I love to run in Central Park, wherever I happen to be. I've been running avidly for 40 years. But one of the things I do now more than ever is I don't take earphones. I don't put on a podcast. For me, I want to hear from God. I use it as my prayer time. It becomes a holy place. My kids know by now, if I'm sending them an encouraging word or God's downloading a Bible verse or a passage for them, they can pretty much guarantee Lynette just finished a run and she was up there with the Lord again. It has been a gift in my life. That tuning out of all the voices, sometimes the social media and everything, it gets overwhelming. Do you ever do that at night where you're just going to bed and you're just like, ah, I can't take it anymore? Well, that's why I like to set my life right now more than ever in that knowing God place, that place where his word becomes alive to me personally. I love to memorize scripture. It's been more important to me now than ever. Right after September 11th, I memorized the whole passage of Psalm 91, having to rely on the truth and the word of God, to not be afraid, to not be walking around like a zombie in a city that felt like a funeral for so, so many months. But that Psalm 91 about how God guards us under the shadow of the Almighty and all of that that Psalm 91 says, I encourage you, print it out and post it on your mirror. Read it every morning. Memorizing that scripture changes us. It alters the way we view. It's our lens that we look to life through, and it makes all the difference. So knowing God has really been, is really the bedrock of everything else that we do, because when we know to God and we know how to hear his voice, it shifts and alters everything. Then next, we believe that we are supposed to discover our purpose. If you've been here in New York, you've probably been to one of my workshops on how do you really go about discovering purpose. I am passionate about this subject because it literally altered my entire career. A career where for many years I was not rewarded, I was underpaid. I talk about this a lot. I had well-meaning people I worked for, but they weren't really in a place, and the organization I was working for was not in a place to offer me the financial and positional rewards and recognition that I really expected to have. But oh, my friends, when you know your purpose, it really becomes the guiding light, the GPS, I call it, God's purpose system. Us knowing the purpose and then doing it wholeheartedly and fulfillment just keeps going up and up and up because now everything I'm going through, the tough things and the easy things all combined, I know are preparing for what God truly has for me to come. I want to read what Paul says, Galatians 3:28. And this is also very empowering because we realize that we're neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and are heirs according to the promise. That means if I'm an heir, that's helping define my purpose. Not my job, not my job description, not my paycheck, not the projects I'm being, but this promise of God that I am an heir of Abraham's seed. When we let that get into our DNA, it changes everything. And so understanding my purpose began to guide and really guard my pathway. It's what led me to New York City. It's what led me to marry my wonderful husband and to be where we are and doing what we're doing now. So purpose is so important. Knowing our purpose, going after it, it helps shape my voice. I speak from that place of purpose and not just from something I'm grappling for or trying to become. It helps us become godly identity women in God, where there's a beauty. I talk to my daughters all the time about this. I'll say to Victoria and Isabella, who are seven-year-old twins, why did God make you beautiful? And they know what the answer is, and they'll say it on their own. For the king and the kingdom. That's what I want them to understand. It's because we're Abraham's seed, and it's for the king and the kingdom. Our beauty, whatever we have, whatever we possess, is really all for him. So we're able to go through tough times. Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Are you going through some discipline right now? It's the hand, the loving hand of God. I've learned to interpret it that way. In fact, I'll declare it that way when it feels so painful. My girls get mad at me when I discipline them, but I'll say, honey, I love you so much, and God has asked me to be part of your discipline so that you can truly be beautiful, that the blessings of the Lord can make you rich and add no sorrow to it, because we're walking in God's ways. My dear friend Bijou, who's part of our church family, recently called me to tell me that she was interviewing for a job. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic when so many people are out of work, and yet God's people always advance. You may not see it yet, but God's going to advance you. And she began to share with me how she was pursued out of the blue. The people told her, we don't even need references. We want you. And sure enough, she's beginning a new job that's really in many ways a dream position for her. Why? Because God's promoting his people. She reminded me back in February, one Sunday morning, I got up in front of our church. Maybe you were there. And I just declared, I said, I get the sense that many in the audience today are going to be promoted. You're going to be advanced. Little did we know what was about to go down in our midst. And yet still, we keep hearing those stories. Our beloved assistant, Lauren, who so faithfully served our family for the last 3 years. In January, she and I were talking. We were both kind of feeling like God was going to open up a new door for her professionally. Having no idea how it would happen, I kept saying, Lauren, God's going to do this for you. And sure enough, really right before all the COVID things broke out, she had a day off. She gets a call. Someone knows about a role. She interviews. They don't interview anyone else. And right in the midst of COVID, she starts her new job, an extraordinary job. And Lauren, who so faithfully, humbly served Ron and I, our church family, our ministry, Jordan Lewis Mission, she would do anything she could to advance the kingdom of God through our lives, to be there to help. What a difference she made. And when her moment came for promotion, her purpose, God did it for her. God will do it for you too. Don't get discouraged, whatever you're facing. God will do it. He will help your purpose come to pass and help you know what that is. Then we talk about growing together. We grow together in community. Community is where it's at for us as people of God. I could not do this life without the community of women in this church family that have stood by me for so many years. We want to stand by you. Doing life in community makes all the difference. We stay in community, and actually, that's what helps us do the last core value, which is make a difference. We can make a difference together. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000. I love that verse. Doesn't mean that we just double our impact. We actually multiply it in magnificent ways. We want to be in community more than ever, and we want to make a difference. Even admit the fact that we're not meeting physically yet. A lot of churches around the country are opening back up and doing that. We're not here in New York City, but we are more than ever committed to community and committed to be making a difference. It's been a joy for me to be a part of this church family for all these years. Here in this anniversary month, I think about the difference that we've been able to make by the grace of God, by our commitment to stay together, to not let difficulties and disagreements tear us apart. Even in the recent months, we've been working hard as a church family to listen to one another, to understand what we're going through. Goodness, I've learned so much from you. Thank you. If you're part of this family, thank you for what your lives are teaching me, even in this interesting time in which we live. That's how we grow together. That's how we know God more. That's how we discover our purpose and make a difference. So we want you to know that we are here for you. You are the light on a hill that cannot be hidden. Your light belongs in a city, in a town that collectively makes your light shine even brighter. We're here in New York City for such a time as this. It's a hurting city, but God has done it through our church for 19 years, and I'm confident that the best days are to come. He will help us once again have beauty for ashes. We're here for you. We love you. We're going to pray for you before the service is over and believe that God has something great coming for you. Thank you for the privilege of being part of your leadership team here. It's been a joy. We've got more celebrations to come over the next year. We'd love for you to be a part of it. If you've been part of our church family, we're coming for you. We're going to put together a wonderful 20-year reunion, and we can't wait for you to join us as we celebrate all God's done. Go out, have a great week. I'll be praying for you. I love you. Thanks for the honor of being part of your church.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.